I'm going to ask you to stand tonight as I read from the Word of the Lord. If you have your Bibles and would like to read along with me, would you turn, please, to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 22. And I want to begin our reading at verse 47. Luke chapter 22, beginning our reading at verse 47. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude. And he that was called Judas, one of the twelve, went before them, and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? Which, when they were about him, saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest, and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, Suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. May God's blessings rest upon the reading and the ministry of his word. You may be seated, friends. In this episode that occurred in the garden, it is John alone who tells us who it was that removed the ear of the servant of the high priest, namely Simon Peter. It is John alone who tells us what the name of the servant of the high priest was, Malchus. It is Luke alone who tells us that Jesus healed the servant of the high priest after he had lost his ear. And in this story tonight, I believe that God has something for this church. There is a burden on my heart. I believe that we're standing right at the door of unparalleled blessings from God. I believe that our Heavenly Father is ready to do a new thing. I believe that glorious things are going to happen. I believe that God has become the dew of Israel on the First Assembly. I believe that He's building a wall of fire around First Assembly. I believe that the glory of the latter house is going to be greater than the glory of the former house. I believe that great and mighty things are in store for you and me if we will only seize our opportunity. I believe that before this service is over tonight, decisions are going to be made that will go a long way in determining how this church is going to go in the future. I believe that there are people that are here right now that are hurting, that are wounded, that are beaten down, that are going to be leaving tonight healed by the miraculous power of God. I want you to hear this message. It may not be a masterpiece. It may or may not have a sermonic material, but I want to give it to you right out of my heart because I believe God has given the pastor a word for this assembly. Now, I want to begin by saying, people of God get hurt. You get hurt, I get hurt. Sooner or later, just about every servant of God gets hurt. Just about every child of God, sooner or later, is going to be hurt. We get hurt individually. We get hurt collectively. We get hurt by ourselves. We get hurt as a church. And so that is the area we need to look at. Now look at this man, Malchus, the servant of the high priest. This man was simply doing his duty. But in the line of duty, he had a confrontation with Simon Peter. And shortly thereafter, Malchus was lying on the ground, his ear having been removed from his head. Now, friend, maybe you know what that is about tonight. You may be lying spiritually on the ground. You may have been wounded. You may have been hurt. People may have gossiped about you. People may have accused you falsely. People may have let their tongue just run, and it's caused you grievous difficulty. God has a word for you tonight. To you that have been hurt in any manner, whatever it was, or whatever may have brought it on, God has a word from the Bible to you and me tonight. Now, when you and I are hurt, we are hurt by one of three classes of individuals. Number one, we are hurt by bad people. Bad people hurt us. Jesus said that bad people were going to hurt us. He said, if they've hated me, your Lord and your Master, they'll hate you as well. I trust, child of God, that you're not so naive that you think you cannot be hurt by a bad person. Bad people hurt the people of God. Bad people have put to death the people of God. Bad people have persecuted the church of God. Bad people over and over again have grievously wounded the people of God. And as a result, we are hurt. We lie there wounded. The sword of the evil one has done its cowardly work. Now there's a second class of people who hurt us, and that's the good man who goes bad. Over and over again, you and I are hurt by a good man who goes bad. And when a good man turns to a bad man and hurts us, it hurts us more severely than the sheer bad man hurts us. The reason is we're not surprised when the bad person hurts us. We're on our guard when the bad person does that. But when a good man turns bad, and when a good man has turned bad and he's hurt us, it hurts worse than it does when a bad man has hurt us. But listen, we're not only hurt by bad men. We're not only hurt by good men who've turned bad. We are hurt by good men. I want to tell you, good men, good people can hurt you. And furthermore, good people will hurt you. And it's only a matter of time until a good person will hurt you. I trust that there will be no naive thought, that there will never come a day that a true Christian will ever hurt you. Friend, you're in for a great shock. The time is coming when a good man or a good woman is going to hurt you. So what God wants this church to ask tonight, what are we going to do then in the light of the fact we've been hurt by bad men? We've been hurt by good men who've gone bad, and we've been hurt by good people. What are you going to do in the light of that? Now, let me say in the first place, Malchus was hurt by a good man. Simon Peter was a good man. Simon Peter was not a bad man. Simon Peter was not a criminal. Simon Peter was not an ungodly man. He was a good man. But for all that, he had a tendency to hurt people. I know some good people who seemingly have a tendency to hurt people. It's not that they intend to hurt people, but there's just something within them in that they lack sensitivity to the feeling of others, which makes them hurt people. Simon Peter was that kind of individual. Simon Peter hurt Malchus. Simon Peter hurt the Lord. He denied him. He said, Lord, though all men deny you, you can count on me. But he hurt the Son of God. And the heart of Jesus Christ was wounded because of Simon Peter. Not only did Simon Peter hurt Malchus, not only did he hurt Jesus, he hurt Barnabas and the Gentiles as well. He had been eating with the Gentiles, but the Bible said when certain ones came down from Jerusalem from James, then he withdrew his fellowship with the Gentiles, and the confusion was so great that Paul said he had to rebuke Peter to his face. A good man, but good men hurt people. And I want to repeat, when a good person or when a good man who's gone bad hurts you, it hurts far more than when a bad person hurts you. What did David say? He said, if it had been an enemy, he said, I would not have been greatly surprised. He said, I would have been on my guard. But he said, it was thou, a man of mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked to the house of God in company. And yet, Ahithophel, you hurt me. David was hurt by a good man. And the wounds of a good man, the wounds of a good man who's become a bad man, are much more deeply embedded than are the wounds of a bad man. So hear me, child of God. Are you hurt tonight? You may have been hurt by a good person. You may have been hurt by a good person who became a bad person. And I can well understand how you feel, because the wounds of a good person who's become a bad person, or the wounds of a good person, period, are far greater than are the wounds of a bad person. Now, why did Simon Peter do this? If he was such a good man, how could he have done such a thing? How in this world could he have cut off the ear of the servant of the high priest? Well, in the first place, he may have done it because he misinterpreted something the Lord had said. The Lord said, if you don't have a sword, go buy one. Consequently, Peter went and bought a sword. Peter, being a very practical man, felt that swords are to use. He felt swords are not to just remain in scabbards. If you're going to have a sword, you might as well use it. And how greater use could you have than removing the head of an enemy of Jesus Christ? Perfectly logical to people. A good man, but how this good man hurt people. Now, you may have people like that. They're good people, but they hurt you with their tongue. They hurt you with what they did to you. They didn't deliberately do it. And it didn't dawn upon them what they were doing. But all of that does not remove the fact they hurt you anyhow. Peter was a good man, but he hurt people. In the second place, I think that Peter probably hurt Malchus, because Malchus became the catalytic agent of all of Peter's frustrations and his own failures. You remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter, James, and John had one of the most tremendous opportunities ever offered to the children of men. They had the opportunity to actually watch while the Son of God prayed. In the hour of his agony in Gethsemane, if ever God's Son needed somebody to stand with him, he needed those people now. And Peter, James, and John have an opportunity to stand by God's Son in the hour of his agony in Gethsemane. But they miserably fail God. And here Peter sees a way to redeem himself. Suddenly, Malchus becomes Peter's opportunity for personal atonement for a previous failure. Now, some of you have been hurt by other people in this church because of their previous failure. They felt it was a way to make up to God some failure they had manifested toward him. And they made you the agent of their frustration. They took out on you. They couldn't take it out on God, so they took it out on you. They couldn't take it out on another brother, so they took it out on you. And many of us are hurt because there are people who make us the agents, the catalytic agents. We become the catalyst of their own frustrations and failures. They're good people, but they hurt you because they're human, because they're subconsciously trying to atone for a previous grievous failure in something God has called them to do. Malchus was hurt by a good man. Number two, not only was Malchus hurt by a good man, this good man would have hurt Malchus even more had he been able to do so. It was never Peter's intention to cut off the ear of Malchus. It was his intention to cut off the head of Malchus. He not only would have hurt Malchus, he would have done far worse had not God sovereignly intervened. Now there are good people right in this church who will not only hurt you, they will hurt you more if God didn't intervene. Not only have they hurt you, they would have hurt you far worse if they had had their way. And they're good people. They're going to heaven. They're saved. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. They're not going to go to hell. And yet they've hurt you. And I repeat, when a good man goes bad and hurts you, and when a good man hurts you, the wound is far more grievous than when a bad man, totally bad, hurts you and me. Because we are not surprised at what the world does, but we're very surprised when it's our own brother and sister that remove our spiritual ear and leave us lying on the ground wounded and bleeding, and not only do it, but would have hurt us far worse than they did had God permitted them to do so. I know I'm describing your picture tonight, many of you right now. Your pastor is talking to you tonight. You can name persons, you can name dates, and you can name places. You know exactly where I'm coming from. That's what the Word of God is all about. God's Word meets you right where you are. And I trust that the Spirit of God through the Word shall minister to you as I open up every avenue of my soul to you right now. So this good man not only hurt Malchus, he would have hurt Malchus far more than he did had God permitted him to do so. Not only this, good people will hurt you. Good people will hurt you more than they do if God did not divinely restrain them. And good people won't lift a finger to do anything about it once they have hurt you. Now, if you think you're going to lie there and have a pity party, and the time is going to come, they're going to run to you crying and ask you to forgive them, you're going to go to your grave in a pity party. I want to tell you right now, there are some people, good people, godly people, who will not only hurt you, they will, to their dying day, never make it right. They will never lift a finger to make your burden less. They will leave you lying in your hurt and in your wounds. There you are suffering, and they won't lift a finger to undo what they have done. Do I make myself clear? Am I coming through when I tell you, you can be hurt by good people? Now hear your pastor. Here is Malchus lying on the ground, his ear laying over to the side, bleeding, energy going out of him. Standing menacingly over him is Simon Peter. And suddenly Peter's master approaches Malchus. He picks up Malchus' ear. He applies it to Malchus' head and totally heals Malchus. Now in that moment, lying on the ground, as Malchus looked up and saw Peter still brandishing the sword, but saw Peter's Lord walking over to make it right, Malchus had to make a decision. He is at a crossroad. What will Malchus do? Number one, he could have looked at the Son of God and said, "Don't you touch me. Don't you touch me. If this is what you teach men, if this is the kind of follower you have, I want nothing to do with you. You stay away from me, Jesus, Son of God." In other words, he could have took his anger toward Malchus out on Jesus himself. I want you to examine your hearts. Have you been taking your frustration, your bitterness, your anger toward whoever it was that hurt you? Have you been taking it out on Jesus Christ? Has he become the victim of your frustration? Have you been taking it out on the Son of God? I'm just going to talk right out front tonight, and I'm just going to let it roll as your pastor, because I want to help you. And I feel I would be remiss in my duties if I did not do such. But I was absolutely bowled over recently when I saw the giving of some of the people of this church. How incredibly that giving dropped off from July. There's only one answer to that. Some of you have taken out on Jesus your frustration toward another. Jesus Christ, the innocent one, you've taken it out on him. You've taken it out on his church. He's the only one, seemingly, you can take it out on. Now, it's not right for somebody to have hurt you and you take it out on the Son of God. Because hear me, friend, Jesus Christ has never hurt you. And Jesus Christ never shall hurt you. And if you're going to take it out on anybody, don't take it out on Jesus. Jesus is innocent of the thing. Jesus is on your side. Jesus is your friend. Don't take it out on him. Don't take it out on his church. For when you take it out on his church, you're taking it out on him. You can't separate the two. You remember Saul of Tarsus persecuted the Lord's church. But Jesus did not say, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou my church?" He said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" When you take it out on his church, you take it out on him. Malchus could have been on the ground, saying, "I want nothing to do with you." And he could have taken out his anger, his bitterness, justified on the Son of God. And it would have been a tragedy had he done so. Now, the second thing that Malchus could have done was to have judged everybody by the conduct of one. This is what we call the generalization fallacy, where people judge the part by the whole and the whole by the part. We've had some people, because of what one person said, they've left the church. God have mercy. I can't control what any one person says. There's no way, as your pastor, I'll ever be able to control. I'm not some puppeteer. People are going to say things they ought not to say. But hey, don't take it out on everybody. Everybody hasn't treated you that way. Everybody has not said that to you. Everybody has not gotten angry at you. And so some people, because one person hurts them, "Well, bless God, I'll never go back to that church. And I don't care." They've made up their mind and they're going to take it out on the whole church over what one person did to them. That's the generalization fallacy. And Malchus could have committed it. He could have said, "I'll have absolutely nothing to do with this crowd that follows this man called Jesus of Nazareth." He could have judged every one of them by what Peter did. Now, I recognize our actions are very eventful. And when we hurt people, it's a horrible thing, and that never justifies it. And I wish it weren't that way. I wish it were not the case that if one person harms another person, they blame the whole church for it. I wish the mind did not work that way. But that's not life as it ought to be. That's life as it is. But hear me, friend, whatever you do, Don't take it out on the whole church. Malchus could have taken it out on the entire church. Malchus could have blamed all the disciples for it. Malchus could have blamed Jesus for it. Malchus could have said, Jesus is no better than Peter. After all, he's a teacher of this man. If this is what he teaches him, he must be as bad as his disciple is. And he could have just said, I'm disgusted with religion. I'm throwing in the towel. I'll have nothing to do with any of it. That was an option which Malchus had at that time. Now, the third thing Malchus could have done was have just said, I don't like it, and I'm not going to tolerate it, and I am going to grovel in my self-pity. And he could have groveled in self-pity. He could have told himself, I didn't deserve this. I was only doing my duty. I didn't deserve this to happen to me. It isn't right that man called Simon Peter did this to me. And Malchus would have been absolutely right. He did not deserve what Peter did to him. He did not deserve to have his ear removed. He did not deserve to be treated by a man who claimed to be a follower of the Son of God in such a fashion. No way did he deserve that. But that's beside the point. But he could have had a pity party and just grovel in self-pity and said, I'm not going to budge until this Simon Peter comes and personally in the Jerusalem Gazette utters a public apology for what he's done to me. Well, brother, he'd have been in eternity and Peter would have never have done that. And that may be what you're waiting for, but friend, it's not going to happen. You are just hurting yourself. You're not hurting the person who has wronged you. But there was another option which Malchus had. Namely, he could let Jesus heal him. Now that's the option you have, child of God. You can let Jesus heal you. I don't care how much you've been hurt. I don't care how much you've been wronged. I don't care who it was who did you the wrong. I don't care how many may have done you wrong. In fact, this very day you may have been wrong. You've got an option that those who have wronged you are powerless to do anything about. Let Jesus heal you. You can let the Son of God repair the damage. You can let the Son of God heal that heart that has been smitten. You can let the Son of God put back on that spiritual ear. He had the marvelous option of letting Jesus heal him. Hear me now. It was a good thing that he exercised the option to let Jesus heal him. Because in the first place, Simon Peter could not heal him. Some of you have been hurt so badly, the person who hurt you could not restore it if he wanted to do so. Some of you have been hurt so keenly, it would be impossible, even if the person wanted to make it right, for him or her to do so. And so, he might as well have let Jesus heal him, because Peter was powerless to do anything about it. It's one thing to hurt a person, but it's quite another to bring healing and to bring a redress of that wrong once it's been done. It's many times like feathers scattered to the wind. Once it's done, they're gone forever. There are some hurts that can never be healed. There are some hurts that can never come into health again. There are some hurts that only the Son of God Himself could possibly heal. And so it was so well that Malchus let Jesus heal him. Not only was it a wonderful thing that he let Jesus heal him, because Peter could not heal him, in the second place, Peter would not have done it if he could have done it. You see, this is a thing you need to face up to. I would like to tell you that the day will come that God will talk to that person who wronged you. I would like to tell you that one day God's Spirit will show him or her how carnal they were, how vicious they were, and they'll come to you and make that right. But friends, 99 times out of 100, it's not going to happen. Most of you are going to go to your grave, and that person who wronged you will never come one time and try to make that thing right. And so what you have to recognize is Jesus is your only alternative if you want to be healed tonight. Do you want to go 20 more years hoping that person will come and make it right? Do you want to go years in the future waiting for healing to come? Or do you want the Master who immediately, as he did in the case of Malchus, can come on the scene and heal you by the mighty power which he possesses? It was well he let Jesus heal him, because Peter could not heal him. And secondly, Peter had no desire to heal him. And friend, why then don't you let Jesus heal your hurt tonight? Why don't you individually let him just come in and touch that heart that has been wounded? Touch that mind that has been lacerated by the attacks of others? Touch that spirit that is so tremendously shaken. The Bible says that the spirit of a man will sustain him in the day of infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? It's too great for you to bear. You can't bear it in your own strength. You will have to have somebody to bear it for you. I'll tell you who he is. His name is Jesus Christ, the blessed Son of the living God. And let me say this. Not only was it a good thing that Malchus let Jesus heal him, because number one, Peter would not heal him, and second, could not heal him, but Peter is not going to get his comeuppance. You see, Malchus could have been lying there and say, he's going to get his comeuppance. He's going to get his. His day is coming. But Malchus would have gone to his grave and would never have witnessed that. This same good man that hurt Malchus, when God Almighty was ready to select the first preacher at the first general council of the Assemblies of God, who was it? The same Peter who hurt Malchus. And if Malchus had been waiting for Peter to get his comeuppance, he would have gone to his grave doing so. Friend of mine, I want to tell you, God loves you, but as tragic as it may sound to you, God loves also the person who hurt you. And good people can hurt you. Bad people can hurt you. Good men gone bad can hurt you. And it hurts severely. And just about the only way you're going to get that hurt healed and get that problem removed is when you recognize, as Malchus did, lying on the ground with options before him, he had to make a decision. That decision was he let Jesus heal him. Oh, church, hear your pastor tonight. The great physician now is here, the sympathizing Jesus. Feelings lie buried that grace can restore. The high priest is touched with the feelings of your hurt. He knows what it is to be hurt. He knows what it is to be verbally castigated. He knows what it is to be cheated. He knows what it is for people to defraud him, for people to rob him, for people to do him wrong. He knows what it's all about. And yet he's touched with the feeling of your infirmities. I admonish you. I plead with you. It's time you and I let the Son of God heal our hurt. Simon Peter cannot. Simon Peter will not. But Jesus can and Jesus will if you will let the healing power of the Son of God minister to you now. And as your pastor, I call on every member of this congregation to cease hurting others. I call on every person who is afflicted with the sin of gossip to get it under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I call on every person who is a nitpicker to bring that problem to the cross and let the cross take care of it. I call upon every person that's always looking for something negative. It reminds me of John Bunyan's The Muckraker, the man that walked around with a muck rake. He never looked up. And because he never looked up, all his eyes ever saw were the things on the ground. God deliver us from being a muckraker. I call on you, if you are a muckraker, to raise your head tonight and lift up your eyes, for your redemption draweth nigh. I call on you to lift your head and see that more are for us than are against us. I call on you to raise your head and see that in the name of Jesus we shall triumph valiantly. Glory to God. No wonder you see nothing but garbage. Your head's down. That's all you see. The muckraker sees nothing but garbage. That's all his eyes are on. And listen, anybody, there's not one of us. If your pastor became a spiritual muckraker and all I did was walk around with a muck rake and looked at the ground, I would see garbage after garbage after garbage. But I want to tell you, life is too short and God is too great and heaven is too real and the work of God is too important for me to walk around with a mully grubs with a muck rake in my hand, when by the power and the blessing of God I've got a Lord that still heals a Malchus when a Simon Peter has taken his ear off. I plead with you, I admonish you, be thou healed and made every whit whole in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Let's stand and worship him tonight. Glory to God. 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 Spirit of God. Spirit of God. Spirit of God. Oh, Spirit of God. Spirit of God. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want our musicians to play the old song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, let me pray. Spirit of God, I thank Thee for Thy presence in these moments. I thank Thee, Spirit of God, for these beautiful people, the sheep of God's pasture. Oh, Spirit, the sheep have been wounded. The sheep have scattered to some degree. But, Spirit of God, I thank Thee, the great shepherd, has been out on the mountains, up in the craggy crevices, and he's come back time after time saying, rejoice with me, for the lost is found. Behold, I found my sheep. He's the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd. and he's in this service right now. So Spirit of God, wilt thou not minister Jesus Christ unto us? Wilt thou not prepare the heart and prepare this sanctuary for great healing from the Spirit of God? Spirit of God, help us, we pray. Help us right now. Hallelujah. 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 While every head is bowed, every eye is closed, how many of you would say, Pastor Brown, God is talking to me tonight? God has brought me here, for I have been hurt. I've been injured. And it's so hard, Pastor. It's not easy at all. My husband has hurt me. My wife has hurt me. My parents have hurt me. My children have hurt me. My brother in Christ has hurt me. My sister has hurt me. And not only hurt me once, but hurt me often. And not only hurt me a little, but hurt me a lot. And Pastor, I just got to have help. Just got to have help. Can't bear it alone. Can't go any further. Can't do it alone. And I want you as a shepherd of the church, because I believe you love me, I want you to pray for me tonight that Jesus will heal me. The one that touched Malchus, that he will touch me. I need his healing, and I need his healing tonight. All over, and please don't let pride get in your way. Please, child of God, if you've ever, I feel the Spirit of God is bringing this church up to this point right now. This is the first time since I've been your pastor in about 4 months now that I felt led of the Lord to speak on this, because I did not feel you were ready, but I felt the green light from the Spirit of God, and everything in my heart has only been confirmed as I've ministered the word tonight. It's time Jesus healed you. Simon Peter won't make it right. He can't make it right. But Jesus will heal you, friend. Jesus will make it right. Jesus will do what Peter could never do, and indeed would never even want to do. Jesus will make it right. So how many of you, in the fear of God, and out of the utter honesty of your heart, my uplifted hand will say, I want you to pray for me that Jesus will heal me tonight. In my mind and in my hurt, I'm not talking about physical healing right now. I'm talking about spiritual, psychological, mental hurt from a person who you expected better from. Would you lift your hands all over me? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. God bless you. I want every one of you who lifted your hands to come to God's altar tonight just before I pray for you. And after you've come, everybody's going to come. I mean, we're going to turn this into a mass altar tonight, into a mass prayer meeting. You that lifted your hands, would you come first? Come in very closely, for we want to pack this altar space with saints of God, letting Jesus heal them of hurts, feelings lie buried, that grace can restore. Well, yes, we have a friend in Jesus.